like to say good morning to everyone. It's happy to see each and every one of you here this morning. And it's kind of interesting. I find myself real hot. I forgot my handkerchief this morning, and it's hot here today. We were worried about being warm not too long ago, but it just goes to show you. I'm reminded of an atheist who had approached the preacher one morning, and he said, do you really believe that story about Jonah and the whale in the Bible? Do you really think that's true? And of course, the preacher says, yes, I believe it's true. He says, well, when you get to heaven, why don't you ask Jonah if that story is true or not? And he says, well, I'll do that. And then the atheist said to the preacher, he says, well, what if there's no heaven? And the preacher says, well, then you can ask him. And I thought that was kind of an interesting story, because many people today do not believe in the Bible. They don't believe in it. I wanted to more or less point out something in the bulletin, and the sister does a real good job on the bulletin. I think sometimes we take for granted the bulletin. But she's got a real nice thought for the week there. She says, if you're having issues with someone and you have talked to them without resolve, try talking less to them and more to God. I thought that was a very interesting one if you want to take a look at it. Pick that up, because sometimes I think we take this for granted. I had an opportunity to talk to one of our sisters. I don't know if you're aware of Shirley Harris's husband is paralyzed from the neck down. And his leg died not too long ago, and they just amputated it. And we really need to, I talked to her, and I'm not saying this to impress you, but we really need to talk to these people. She's going through some things, and I don't think she's here today either. I don't think she could even make it. And then she's going through a lot of things. She tries to get people to stay over to the house, and she pays people to stay over there. And then those people are departing. Some of her goods are missing on her return. So she's having a problem even leaving the house with people. So if you can, give Sister Shirley Harris, I don't know if many of you know her husband was paralyzed, but they just cut his leg off not long ago. And she really needs for us to call and give her some spiritual support. And I know many of us have already doing that, but I'm just talking about developing a prayer list. When I first started praying, they used to have me come up and pray, I used to have a list. And if we can all have a list with people's names on it, put Shirley Harris on that list. Also put Brother Lee's sister on that list. I think she's out of town. I called to talk to her this week, but she's having some issues as well. And there are many other people in the congregation that are having issues. And I don't mean to slight anybody by calling those names out, but those two have touched me recently, and I thought I ought to share it with you and give you an opportunity, if you didn't know, to try to do something about it. Our lesson this morning is going to be dealing with the Lord is my shepherd. You know, oftentimes I hear about this 23rd Psalms when I'm going to a funeral and somebody has died. And we hear this familiar verse come out, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in many instances, we use this passage of Scripture to comfort people, to comfort them when they're in their sorrow. But we're going to talk about it this morning is trying to use this while we're alive and kicking. All of us are going through something on a day-to-day basis. And I want to bring that to your mind today. And I want us, as a result of this lesson, when we run into troubles, let's say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let us rely on the Lord when those things come into play. Oftentimes we deal with our own intellect in dealing with situations. But I want us to take this 23rd Psalms and really look at each word. And we're going to go through and talk about this a little bit this morning, that the Lord is our shepherd. You know, sheep are some of the dumbest animals you can ever come in contact with. I don't know if you've ever seen sheep. If you tell a sheep to go that way, the sheep will go that way. If you tell them to go that way, of course, I'm looking at the elders. They say that doesn't work that way here with my sheep. But at any rate, sheep are supposed to go in the direction that you tell them to go into. And in each shepherd, they have a staff, and then they have a rod. And this particular rod, if you look at one of those rods, they have a piece of iron on the end of it. And this is used for protection. And this hook that they use is used for climbing and sometimes pulling the sheep out of the thicket. But the whole concept of this particular passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning is how the great shepherd, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Stewart, Jesus hadn't come to the earth when David wrote this. I think we as the Latter-day Saints can use this passage of Scripture in our Christianity today, and we're going to try to use it in that fashion today. We know that David, when he wrote this particular passage, was in his old age, is what historians tell us. And David had been saved by God on many occasions. Time's not going to permit me to go through all of them, but we know that he was saved him from Saul on many instances. Saul had tried to kill him. He was with him when he killed David, killed Goliath, the Philistine. And you can see all the way through his history, even when he sinned with Bathsheba, David was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it goes on to talk about how the Lord restored David even after that sin that he had become involved in. The 23rd Psalms has been a popular song for over the years. Often it is used during very difficult times, such as a dying relative, in order to bring them comfort as they approach death's door. Knowing that the Lord is one shepherd can be a very comforting thought when we enter death's door. I have begun to think about death's door very seriously here lately. This year, I'll be 65 years old, and I can't believe it. And I can't believe it. And the things that makes me believe it is now my health insurance has to change from Medicare, and I've been selling insurance for over 30 years, and I'm still trying to figure out this Part A, Part F, Part... Oh, you're not that... He doesn't know what I'm talking. He's not that old. But I guess he heard about it. But at any rate, I'm going through picking this out now, and I got to do it in June because my health insurance changes here. And now I am coming to the reality, Paul, I'm getting old. I was back talking to a sister just a moment ago, and I went to turn, and my hip didn't follow. And all of these are indications that I'm getting old. And my point in bringing this up is that we're all going to have to meet our Maker sooner or later. And, of course, you don't have to be 65 years of age in order to meet your Maker. I'm seeing people 46, 51, 52, 36, all ages. And we need to be thinking about making the Lord truly our shepherd in word and deed as we progress. This life is something. We're not going to get out of this alive. So we have to make preparations for what's coming for. And the way that we can do that is by making the Lord our shepherd before we reach death's door. And we want to be comforted by that Creator. Our minds tend to think about our lives having had purpose or lack of purpose. You know, I sit back and I look back and I see what I accomplished and what I could have done and what I didn't do. And there's really not a lot I can do about that except from this day forward and making sure that I serve the Lord. When we think about what we would do differently if we had more time, what would we do differently? And I look at Hezekiah's situation when he asked the Lord, and the Lord granted him more time. In Luke 16 and 19, which is a familiar passage if you want to turn over there, and I'm sure I've got that, and it's a familiar story about the rich man and Lazarus. Can you think about how Lazarus felt when he passed on and he lifted up his eyes in comfort, in Abraham's bosom? And if we want to have that same feeling probably that he had when he lifted up his eyes in Abraham's bosom, we have to make sure that we're making the Lord our shepherd today. And I'm not just talking about on Sundays, Wednesdays, Saturdays. I'm talking about every day saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we want to kind of investigate that. The other time that we hear the passage of Psalms 23 is after someone has passed, and it brings comfort to a spouse, sister, brother, mother, father, cousin, or friend who are left behind after this tragedy has occurred. I know Vicki, my wife, got a call this morning from a friend of hers who is just in she's got all kinds of things. I can't pronounce half of the things that's wrong with her. And she's just really having a difficult time. And, you know, the day's going to come when we're going to have those difficult times. And we need to be thinking about the Lord truly being our shepherd, not just reciting some words, before that day comes. We've got to do it now while we're healthy and we have our wits about us, thinking in regard of the Lord being our shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is He truly your shepherd? And I want you to think about that for a moment. Do we rely upon Him when circumstances present themselves? Or do we rely on something or someone else or something else when those difficult times come around? Sometimes we make the claim that the Lord is our shepherd. And for some of us, there will be real comfort from God due to our service that we have provided God during our lifetime, and our faithfulness during our sojourn here on earth. But is he really our shepherd? Do we really rely on him in times of trouble? Do we rely on ourselves in troubled times? Or should we be relying on the Lord? We're going to look at four men in just a moment who put their trust in the chief shepherd. And each instant, the shepherd delivered them from their particular situation. And if you turn your Bible over to Daniel, the third chapter, we're going to talk about three little boys. And I want to tell you what these three little boys went through. If I give you a chance to get over to Daniel, it's not that I'll give you a chance to get there so you can follow me, because we're going to go over to the sixth chapter of Daniel as well in just a moment. And I have difficulty finding it as well. But let me start in the first chapter of Daniel and tell you what's going on there. These three Hebrew boys have been taken captive. And one of the things that these individuals did when they took people captive is they changed their names. And they had changed these little boys' names, these Hebrew boys' names. And history tells us they were 14, 15, 16 years old. They were very young. And, of course, as you look there early on, they want to come and feed them the choices of the king's food. And they want to fatten them up. And, of course, you'll see that they say, well, no, I don't want any of your food. And the reason they didn't want some of the food is because they had been sacrificed to animals. And that was the reason that they didn't want to deal in it. And as you go on and look at the story there, you'll see that after a period of time, they were healthier than the other individuals that who were fed the choice food. Now, the situation came about where these individuals were worshiping. They didn't want to worship these idols. And I want to take you there to the passage in Daniel so you can have an opportunity to see exactly what was going on there with Daniel. And we should be still in about the first chapter, I would believe. And we go on, and I want to take you... They were getting ready to put them into the fiery furnace. And they wouldn't worship. If you look there in the third chapter, Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of gold, and the height of which was 60 cubits and the width was 6 cubits, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, and the governors. In other words, everybody was supposed to drop and worship these golden idols. These three little boys refused to do it. And as a result of that, they refused it. If you look in the third chapter in the eighth verse, is they were not going to do it. So what they did is Nebuchadnezzar became all angry. Look at the 13th verse. And he says, why don't you heat this furnace up 10 times hotter than it normally is? And, of course, he gave them an opportunity to bow down, and they still refused to do it. And look at these little boys' faith here. They said, whether or not you do it or not, they put in their trust into their shepherd, which is God. And if God saw fit for them to burn up, they were willing to do that. If he didn't, they were willing to do that. And as you continue on, you'll see that he so had the soldiers take these three little boys and cast them into this furnace. And you might also notice in your reading there that the men who took them up there were consumed by fire themselves. They were burnt up. The fire was that hot. I don't know if you've ever been into one of these furnaces. I told you the story about they used to have me shoveling coal, my father did, into a furnace. And if you got too close to that, you could smell your hair burning. Back in those days, I grew an afro. And if you're interested in seeing some of those pictures, send me your email address, and I'll send you one. But I had one of the biggest afros you could ever believe, Willie. Okay? And but your hair would get singed. And as the passage of Scripture goes on, is that not one hair on their body was singed. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of there. And if you continue to look, they said that there was a fourth person in there that appeared to be who? The Son of God. The Lord was their shepherd. They put all of their confidence in him. And he delivered them. And they were willing not to be delivered. You know, sometimes our faith is shaken when God doesn't come through for us in situations that we think he ought to come through. Our faith is shook. Sometimes we'll stop coming to worship service. Somebody get on our nerves, we won't come to service, and we won't do those things. But if the Lord is our shepherd, nothing will keep us from going in that particular situation. Go to another situation up here. Just go up to the sixth chapter of Daniel, and you'll see another situation where Daniel, who was in the same group. Daniel, now these people plotted on Daniel. Have you ever had anybody plot on you? I have. It's a horrible situation. And these people plotted on Daniel. They went and got a law passed that they knew that he would break. And once the law was broke, they went to the king and said, look, he's breaking the law you just passed. Isn't that something? And so here you can see Nebuchadnezzar, if you read through there, he really didn't want to do this. But they had this thing, if a king passed a law, he couldn't change that law. And so here Nebuchadnezzar was. And he didn't even sleep that night when they put him in the lion's den. But as you can go on and read, you can see, here again is another example where an individual put their trust in the good shepherd, if you will, to deliver him. And he delivered him. And I believe that Daniel, like the three boys, whether God delivered them or not, it would not shake their faith. Do we have that kind of faith? Is the Lord our shepherd? Do we not want? Does he make us to lie down in green pastures? Does he lead you behind by the quiet waters? And when I'm talking about quiet waters, I don't know if you've ever gone down by a river. I had an uncle who loved to fish. And he just loved to fish. And he was down in Cleveland. And I was about 6 or 7 years old, and he took us out in this boat. And the boat was only supposed to hold 2 or 3 people, but it was like 4 of us in there. And I don't know if you've ever been in a boat that's overloaded. The rims of it, Paul, are not touching the water. They're not supposed to touch the water. They're supposed to be up. But my uncle always thought it was so peaceful to be out on this water. And I think this is what it's talking about here. The peace and the calm that we as Christians, knowing that the Lord is our shepherd, we can have that peace of knowing that if we meet our Maker today, that he's going to be there to greet us. And I believe that this is the peace that's being talked about, where he's talking about, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This word shepherd is really talking about a deep-seated faith and hope that we as children of God have. We know that God is watching over us. You know, some people don't believe that there's a God. I told you the little joke about the atheists. They don't believe in God. The agnostics, they don't know what form God takes. But we as Christians know what form he takes. And our faith, we should have a strong faith in the God being our shepherd. Over in John 10 and 14, it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. Jesus being the good shepherd. David here in his Psalms paints a picture of how the Lord both physically and spiritually will provide for us. David then describes how God protects us as we travel down dangerous pathways in the presence of our enemies. The psalm ends with the expression of faith and hope in the Lord's ability to furnish us with goodness and mercy needed throughout our lives so that we can abide in the house of the Lord forever. We as Christians should see in this psalms the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for his sheep and even watches over them, as we can see in Hebrews 13 and 20, if you want to turn there. Hebrews 13 and 20. And it says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant bought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's from the NIV. The Lord will never allow us to lack in anything if we have that faith in him that we should. He will make it where we as Latter-day Saints are able to lie down in green pastures. Any person who knows anything about sheep knows that they will never lie down when they're hungry. Therefore, the scene here in Psalms 23 is green pastures where the sheep have eaten their fill, and then when no longer hungry, they will lie down. He leadeth me beside still waters. The literal Hebrew word here means waters of rest, which we've kind of talked about before. Let's look at some of the things that God does for his people. He satisfies our hunger. I've never seen a person, a member of the Lord's church, that ever went hungry. And I believe that he provides for that. And he talks about that. If he knows the hairs on your head, and he will provide for it. He even provides for the birds. Also, God leads us by the still waters.
If we put our faith and trust in God, we will always have peaceful circumstances. Oftentimes when we have turmoil in our lives, it's because we're not at peace with our Lord. We need to have those peaceful circumstances. God restores us when we've fallen away. In Romans 3 and 23, He allows we have an avenue of return when we sin or fall short of the glory of God. He guides us in the way of righteousness. God abides with us even through death, which most of us are afraid of. And I have to tell you, I think the most of the time that we're afraid is because we don't really know what's on the other side. But if we believe in the Good Shepherd, we'll have the confidence, as Meshach, Meshach, and Abednego had, and Daniel had, when they were in their circumstances, that the Lord will provide for us whatever the set of circumstances are or become. He gives us a table in His kingdom, and He cares for us eternally. If we look over in Matthew 28 and 20, it tells you that He will be with us throughout the ages. He restoreth my soul. If you have fallen away from Jesus, as the shepherd provides Christians who have fallen away, in context, this passage is talking about how you can be restored or brought back. Pictures of the deep renewal of man, the man of God, who spiritually falls away and must restore himself. If you've fallen away, you must restore yourself. It doesn't happen by osmosis or some type of other process. We have to do something about it. We know what the Scriptures teach. Oftentimes, we run into temptation, and in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, we see that the Good Shepherd will provide a way for us to come back. We don't have to be afraid to come by. And that's, of course, by studying His Word. In Psalms 23 and 3, it talks about, He leadeth me for His name's sake. Why does God do this for us? Have you ever thought about why God does this for us? Why does He love us so much? He's not doing this to uphold His reputation for someone. He merely does it because it's His nature. If you look over in John 3:16, which you see posted on building, it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And this word love here is from the word agape. And it means an unconditional love. He loves us not because of what we've done, but because of what He is to us. We have not merited this. He loves us. It is because we are called by God's name. The prophet Isaiah said it best. If you turn over to Isaiah 43 and verses 1 through 7 there, the prophet Isaiah gave the correct answer when he says, I have redeemed thee, and this is God speaking, thou art mine. I have called thee by my name. I have created thee for my glory. Did you know God created us for His glory? God, since the beginning of time, all He's wanted us to do is to worship Him and hold Him in high regard. That's all He wants us to do, is to hold Him in high regard and do those things that His Word tells us to do. Yes, indeed, the plan of salvation, I believe, can be found in the 23rd Psalms. He says that He will lead us through the valley of death. I will fear no evil. The shepherd's reference here is to this passage is to let the shepherd know that he might be required to take his sheep through dangerous territory. And these sheep depend upon this shepherd to guide them through this territory. And of course, God does that for us if we abide in His Word. It talks about in the fourth verse, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was a short wood and a club for defense, and the staff was a longer pole used for climbing, as I talked about earlier. And it's still used. And we have to understand the rod of correction and the staff of support for us as Christians today. I can see where this found very much comfort in David, for David, when he had gone through his old age, to be able to look back and look at the ways that God has helped us. And why don't we take a moment to look back and see the ways that God has helped us in the years gone by. Oftentimes, I think that we are not cognizant that God has been in our lives as Christians and guided us through the way. David wrote this as far as letting us know that. Keeping the Lord as our shepherd will also help us on how we ought to act as Christians. We ought to act a certain way because of the chief shepherd. When we do things that are contrary to this, then we are bringing shame and honor on Him as we represent Him in this life. The Lord is my shepherd. If you turn over to John 14, 1 through 4, and I think this particular passage kind of parallels here somewhat with Jesus' words before He was gone. His apostles were now going to be alone. And he leaves them with these words. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Do you want to be with our Lord one day? Do you want to be with the chief shepherd? Then we have to develop that attitude of mind in the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If you're in the audience this morning and you have not honored God as your shepherd, then you need to do something about correcting it. In the Psalms, you see you have an opportunity. He will restore you. You need to come up and confess your faults and get back in the fold and get busy, if you will. If you're not a Christian and you're in the audience this morning, you have an opportunity to become a child of God by hearing the gospel, believing those things in which you've heard, and repenting of your sin. In other words, turning away from the way of life, the sinful life that you've been involved in. And then the next thing you need to do is you need to confess Jesus as Christ and your Lord. And then you need to go down into the watery grave of baptism. And as John says over in Revelation 2 and 10, he says you have to continue to be faithful until death so that you might receive the crown of life. Is the Lord your shepherd? If he's not your shepherd, you have an opportunity to make him your shepherd as we stand and sing the song, "The Way of the Selected."